A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
You know the moment. You're standing in the frozen aisle holding a 400-gram bag of chicken schnitzel that costs $11, and you do the math in your head. That's maybe 6 schnitzels. Your family of 4 needs 8, so you're buying 2 bags, $22, for one meal. Meanwhile, the restaurant down the street is serving the exact same schnitzel from the exact same manufacturer, and they paid about $1 per piece. Daniel wants to know how we crack that gap. Where does a regular person go to buy frozen goods at the scale restaurants and institutions access?
And the gap is realer than most people realize. I pulled the numbers. A 5-pound box of frozen breaded chicken breast patties at a restaurant supply store runs about $22 to $28. That's roughly 20 to 25 schnitzels. The supermarket equivalent, those little 400-gram bags, works out to about $10 to $12 per pound. You're paying 60 to 70% more for the privilege of a colorful cardboard box and a zipper seal you'll never actually reseal properly.
The zipper seal that betrays you by meal 3.
Every time. So the question isn't really whether the savings exist, it's why there are 2 completely separate supply chains for the same frozen chicken and how a determined civilian gets through the door of the cheap one.
And the answer to why there are 2 chains is basically that supermarkets have spent decades training us to think the frozen aisle is where value lives, when it's actually where margin lives. The frozen food aisle is a convenience play dressed up as a value proposition. They know you're tired, they know you need dinner in 12 minutes, and they know you're not comparison shopping against a Sysco truck.
Right. So let's map the 2 channels, because once you see the split, you can't unsee it. Channel 1 is retail. That's your supermarket distribution center feeding into store shelves. The product is packaged in small units, colorful boxes, family size, which is a meaningless term, by the way. Channel 2 is food service. That's the broadliners, Sysco, U.S. Foods, Performance Food Group, delivering to restaurants, hospitals, schools, cafeterias. Same manufacturers, Tyson, Bell & Evans, Pilgrim's Pride, are producing for both channels. But the packaging, the SKU, and the pricing are completely different. A 5-pound plain brown box versus a glossy 400-gram bag.
Same chicken, different reality.
Same chicken. And the pricing structure reflects who's buying. A restaurant orders by the case every week for years. They get volume pricing. A consumer wanders into a supermarket and grabs one bag. They get the I need this right now pricing.
So the obvious question is, why can't I just walk into a Sysco warehouse and buy a case of schnitzels? What's actually stopping me?
Several things, and they're all designed to keep the channels separate. First, minimum order quantities. Sysco, the largest food service distributor in North America, typically requires a minimum order of $250 to $500 for delivery. Second, you need a business account. They're not set up for walk-in retail, they don't take credit cards from individuals, they invoice businesses on net 30 terms. Third, delivery only. There's no counter where you browse. You place an order, a truck shows up at a loading dock, not your driveway.
So the entire system is architected around the assumption that you're a commercial kitchen with a receiving bay and an accounts payable department.
And for a long time, that was a pretty effective wall. But here's where it gets interesting. There's a whole category of businesses that sit in between. The cash and carry restaurant supply stores, and many of them are open to the public despite the wholesale branding.
This is the back door.
This is the back door. Let me give you the lay of the land. Restaurant Depot, over 190 locations in the U.S., is the big one. They do require a membership, but here's the thing, it's trivially easy to get. Any business card, any EIN, even a resale certificate from an eBay store qualifies you. If you've ever sold anything on the internet and registered as a business, you're in. If you have a friend with a business card, you're in. I've heard of people walking in, filling out a form at the desk, writing freelance catering as their business, and walking out with a membership card 5 minutes later. It's the I occasionally cook for people loophole. But it gets even easier. Chef's Store, formerly Cash & Carry, over 70 locations, mostly in the western U.S., requires no membership at all. Anyone can walk in and buy. Gordon Food Service Store, over 170 locations in the Midwest, Northeast, and Florida, also open to the public, no membership required. Smart Food Service, same deal. These are full-scale warehouse stores selling the exact same institutional boxes that go to restaurants.
So the wall is basically a suggestion. The gatekeepers are checking for a pulse and a vague gesture toward commerce.
At the cash and carry level, absolutely. The real barrier isn't legal or regulatory, it's awareness. Most people don't know these stores exist or they assume they can't shop there. The stores don't advertise to consumers. They don't need to. Their core business is small restaurants and caterers. Walk-in consumers are gravy.
Let's get specific about schnitzel. You walk into one of these places, what are you actually buying, and what does it cost?
So the institutional frozen schnitzel market is dominated by a few key players. Sysco has their classic line, which is their house brand. Gordon Food Service has their own label. Then you've got the big poultry producers, Tyson, Pilgrims, who sell food service packs. A 5-pound box of breaded chicken breast patties, which is essentially a schnitzel, runs about $22 to $28 at Restaurant Depot. That box contains roughly 20 to 25 pieces, depending on the size specification.
Versus the supermarket, where you're paying $10 to $12 for a 1-pound bag, with maybe 5 or 6 pieces.
So your per schnitzel cost drops from about $2.50 at retail to roughly a dollar at wholesale. For a family of 4 eating schnitzel once a week, that's about $300 a year in savings on that one product alone.
And the average American household spends about $500 to $600 a year on frozen poultry products, so this isn't a trivial line item.
Not trivial at all. And here's a knock-on effect that surprised me when I started digging into this. The institutional product is often higher quality than the retail version.
Explain that, because the instinct is to assume the opposite. Big brown box equals generic colorful bag equals premium.
That's exactly the misconception. Restaurants demand consistency. They need every schnitzel to be the same size, the same thickness, the same breading adhesion, the same cook time. If a schnitzel is too thick, it's raw in the middle. If the breading falls off in the fryer, the plate looks terrible. Food service products are engineered for performance in a commercial kitchen, which means they're optimized for high heat cooking, which is exactly what your air fryer is doing. Retail products are optimized for shelf appeal. The box looks good, and shelf life, they sit in your freezer for 6 months. The actual protein quality can be lower because the purchase decision is made with the eyes, not the mouth.
So the restaurant is buying a product designed to be cooked well, and the home cook is buying a product designed to be photographed well.
That's the split in one sentence. And it applies across the board, not just to schnitzel. Frozen fish fillets, french fries, vegetables, the institutional pack is almost always the better performing product.
Alright, so you know where to go. But before someone rushes out and buys a 10-pound box of schnitzels, there are some practical realities to contend with. Storage, for one.
This is where the bulk buy fantasy meets the freezer burn reality. A 5-pound box of schnitzels takes up about half a cubic foot of freezer space. That's manageable for most households. But a 10-pound box, which is where the real per-unit savings kick in, that's a cubic foot, and you're committing to roughly 40 to 50 schnitzels. If you're a single person or a couple, you might not get through that before freezer burn sets in, which would wipe out your savings.
So the math only works if you actually eat the food before it degrades.
And this is the misconception a lot of people have about bulk buying. Buying in bulk always saves money, except when it doesn't. You need to account for consumption rate. The solution is straightforward, though. Vacuum seal and portion before freezing. Take the 10-pound box, split it into meal-sized portions, seal them properly, and they'll last months without freezer burn. Or split the box with a friend or neighbor. Which brings us to an angle I think is underexplored.
The group buy.
The group buy. This is how small restaurants actually operate. A tiny cafe can't meet Sysco's $500 minimum on its own, so they pool orders with other businesses. There's no reason a neighborhood can't do the same thing. A schnitzel co-op. 4 or 5 families on a street, one person with a Restaurant Depot membership, everyone chips in, you split a case of schnitzels, a case of fish fillets, a case of fries. Everyone saves, nobody's freezer is overwhelmed.
The cul-de-sac supply chain.
the cul-de-sac supply chain exactly. And it's not just a cute idea, it's how immigrant communities have been shopping for decades. Go to any ethnic grocery store and you'll see bulk buying and splitting is standard practice. The frozen schnitzel crowd just hasn't caught up.
Now, what about online? Because not everyone lives near a restaurant depot or a chef store. Can you do this from your couch?
You can, with some caveats. There are online restaurant supply retailers. Webstrot Store is the big one. KTOM is another that sell to anyone with a credit card. No membership, no business license, no questions asked. You search for frozen breaded chicken breast, or chicken schnitzel, filter by pack size, and order. A 10-pound box of breaded chicken breast patties on Webstrot Store runs about $45.
But the shipping?
The shipping is the catch. Frozen goods require overnight or two-day shipping with dry ice, and that typically runs $15 to $30 depending on distance and order size. So your $45 box becomes $60 to $63 delivered, which is about $6.30 per pound. The supermarket equivalent is $9 to $12 per pound. You're still saving 30 to 40%, but it's not the 60 to 70% you get walking into a cash and carry.
So the online play makes sense for larger orders, $100 plus, where the shipping cost amortizes across more product. For a single box, you're better off finding a physical store.
That's the calculus. And this is where the group buy gets even more powerful online. If four households pool a $200 order, the shipping is the same, $15 to $30, and suddenly your per unit costs dramatically.
Let me throw out a more audacious strategy. Because Daniel asked for strategies a determined consumer might use, and I think determined is the operative word.
I'm listening.
You mentioned the business account barrier with Sysco and US Foods. The official line is, you need a restaurant or institutional affiliation. But what counts as a business is remarkably flexible. If someone registers a small catering operation, even a micro caterer doing weekend events, that's a legitimate business. An EIN from the IRS is free and takes 10 minutes online. A business license from your city might cost $50. For $100 and an afternoon of paperwork, you're now a commercial entity in the eyes of the food service industry.
And you've just opened the door to the entire Sysco and US Foods catalog.
The entire catalog. And here's the thing. The minimum order is $250 to $500. If you're doing a group buy with four or five families, you hit that minimum in one order. You're not committing fraud. You're not misrepresenting anything. You're a small food business that occasionally cooks for its members. The fact that your clients are your neighbors and the events are Tuesday dinner is between you and your conscience.
I want to be careful here because I'm not suggesting anyone misrepresent themselves. But the line between a home cook who occasionally caters a friend's party and a micro-catering business is genuinely blurry. If you're buying institutional quantities of frozen food and distributing them among a group, you're operating a buying club, which is a real thing. Food co-ops have existed for a century. The legal structure exists.
And the food service industry doesn't actually care. Sysco's minimum order exists because it's not profitable to deliver a single case to a residential address. If you're ordering $500 of product to a commercial address, or even a residential address with a business name attached, you're a customer like any other. The gatekeeping is economic, not moral.
That's a fair point. The barrier is operational, not ethical. They're not trying to keep schnitzels out of the hands of civilians. They just don't have the logistics for small residential drop-offs.
Let's talk about another angle. The Gordon Food Service store model, because I think it's the best-kept secret in this whole space.
GFS is fascinating. So Gordon Food Service is a major broadliner. They deliver to restaurants across the Midwest, Northeast, and Florida. But they also operate retail-adjacent stores, Gordon Food Service stores, that are open to the public with no membership. You walk in, you buy the exact same 5-pound and 10-pound boxes that their delivery trucks drop at restaurants. The per-unit price is slightly higher than what a restaurant with a negotiated contract would pay, but is still dramatically below supermarket pricing.
So it's the institutional supply chain with a consumer-facing storefront. They've already done the work of bridging the two channels.
And it's not just GFS. Chef Store, Smart Food Service, these are all essentially the same model. The broadliner realized there's a market of small operators, food trucks, church kitchens, and yes, determined home cooks who want institutional product but can't meet delivery minimums, so they open stores.
Which suggests the industry is already adapting. The war between retail and food service isn't some sacred divide. It's just a logistics problem that's gradually being solved from the supply side.
And from the demand side, you've got the air fryer revolution. Air fryer adoption is at an all-time high. These appliances are essentially small convection ovens that excel at cooking frozen breaded products. A frozen schnitzel in an air fryer comes out better than a frozen schnitzel in a conventional oven, closer to deep-fried texture. The home cook now has a tool that performs like commercial kitchen equipment, which makes the institutional product suddenly relevant to the home kitchen in a way it wasn't 10 years ago.
The air fryer is the bridge technology. It makes the food service product make sense in a residential context.
And the manufacturers are noticing. Tyson and Pilgrim's are starting to put air fryer instructions on their retail packaging. But the institutional boxes have always been designed for high heat convection cooking, which is what a commercial kitchen uses and what an air fryer essentially is. So in a weird way, the home cook with an air fryer is better served by the food service product than the retail product.
Let me give a concrete example for someone who wants to try this. You live in Chicago. You go to the Restaurant Depot on Pulaski Road. You bring a friend's business card, or you register online with an EIN you got in 10 minutes from the IRS website. You walk in, you find the frozen section, you grab a 5-pound box of breaded chicken breast fillets for $25. You go home, you open the box, you portion the schnitzels into freezer bags, 4 per bag, and you stack them in the freezer. That's 5 to 6 meals for a family of 4 at about $4 per meal in protein cost. The same meal from Jewel, Osco, would cost you about $10 to $12 in schnitzels alone.
And the quality is better. The breading is more consistent, the chicken is more uniform, the cook time is predictable. You put it in the air fryer at 390 for 12 minutes, flip halfway, and it comes out restaurant quality.
The entire restaurant experience, minus the markup, minus the tip, minus the drive.
Minus the server asking if everything's okay when your mouth is full.
Now, scale this logic beyond schnitzels. What else does this apply to?
Everything in the frozen aisle. Frozen fish fillets, the institutional packs, are typically individually quick frozen, which means they don't clump together and the portion sizes are consistent. Frozen vegetables, a 5-pound bag of broccoli florets at a cash, and carry costs about the same as a 1-pound bag at the supermarket. French fries, a 30-pound case of food service fries, is about $25 to $30 versus $4 for a 2-pound bag at retail. The math is the same across the board.
Ice cream.
Ice cream is a great one. A 3-gallon tub of institutional ice cream, the kind they scoop at a cafeteria, is about $20 to $25. That's roughly 32 4-ounce servings, or about 78 cents per serving. A pint of premium ice cream at the supermarket is $5 to $6 for 4 servings, $1.50 per serving. And the institutional stuff is often made by the same dairies.
So the meta lesson. Here's that the consumer packaged goods industry relies on you not knowing about the institutional supply chain. Once you know the backdoor exists, you can apply this logic to almost any frozen food.
And it extends beyond frozen. Canned goods, dry goods, paper products, cleaning supplies. The institutional channel exists for all of it. But frozen is where the price gap is most dramatic, because frozen logistics are expensive, and the retail markup reflects that.
Let's address the elephant in the room, which is that frozen schnitzel isn't health food. Daniel acknowledged this in his prompt. This isn't about optimizing your micronutrient profile. This is about the reality of feeding a family when you're exhausted.
And that's a real reality. The difference between skipping a meal and eating something isn't trivial. A frozen schnitzel with a side of frozen vegetables, which you can also buy in bulk from the same cash and carry, is a perfectly reasonable Tuesday dinner. It's protein, it's calories, it's food on the table in 15 minutes. The alternative for a lot of families isn't a farm-to-table organic spread. It's takeout, which is more expensive and often less nutritious.
Or it's nothing. And nothing is worse than a schnitzel.
Nothing is definitely worse than a schnitzel. So, the practical playbook. Step 1. Find your nearest cash and carry restaurant supply store. Restaurant Depot, Chef Store, Gordon Food Service Store, Smart Food Service, or a regional equivalent. Call ahead to confirm their public access policy, but in most cases, you can just show up. If they require a membership, ask what qualifies. The bar is almost always lower than you think.
Step 2. For online ordering, use Web Store and Store or Katom. Search for frozen breaded chicken breast or chicken schnitzel. Filter by pack size. Calculate the total cost with shipping before you commit. Frozen shipping is the hidden cost, and it only makes sense for orders above roughly $100.
Step 3. Start a neighborhood bulk buy group. Find 3 or 4 families on your street or in your building. Pool orders. One person does the run to Restaurant Depot, or one person places the online order, everyone Venmos their share. You get the volume discount without the storage burden.
And step 4, if you're truly determined, consider the micro caterer route. An EIN is free. A basic business license is cheap. You're not building a restaurant empire. You're creating a legal framework for accessing the wholesale supply chain. The fact that your catering business primarily serves your own dinner table is nobody's business but your own.
I'll add a step 5. Invest in a vacuum sealer. They're $40 to $60, and they'll pay for themselves in prevented freezer burn within a few months. Portion your bulk schnitzels into meal-sized bags, seal them, and they'll last 6 months or more without degradation.
So let's pull this together. The institutional frozen food supply chain isn't a locked vault. It's a building with an unlocked side door that most people walk past because they assume it's alarmed. The cash and carry stores are the side door. The online retailers are the window you can climb through if you're willing to pay shipping. And the microbusiness route is basically asking the front desk for a key.
And once you're inside, the economics are transformative. You're paying 40 to 60% less for the same or better product. For a family that goes through a lot of frozen food, we're talking hundreds of dollars a year in savings. That's real money.
The question I want to leave listeners with is, what happens when more people figure this out? The cash and carry model works right now, partly because consumer traffic is a rounding error in their business. If suddenly 10% of their customers are home cooks loading up on frozen schnitzels, do they tighten access? Do they raise prices for non-commercial buyers?
Or do they lean in? The GFS model suggests there's a middle ground, a consumer-facing store that stocks institutional product at slightly higher margins. We're already seeing direct-to-consumer bulk food delivery services emerge, though the big one, Boxed, went under. The demand is clearly there. I could see a Costco for food service model emerging, a membership warehouse that explicitly targets the home bulk buyer with institutional packs.
A schnitzel Costco. I'd join.
You'd be the founding member.
On the record, within 2 years, at least one major broadliner, Sysco or US Foods, will pilot a consumer-facing retail store or a direct-to-consumer delivery option with no business license requirement. The economics are too compelling to ignore, and the air fryer has created the demand signal. They'd be leaving money on the table.
I'll go further. Within 18 months, we'll see a startup explicitly built around group buy logistics for frozen food service products, an app that connects neighbors who want to split cases of institutional frozen goods, the Schnitzel Co-op as a service. The unit economics work, the infrastructure exists, and the cultural moment is right.
So, the future is bulk schnitzels, delivered to your door, split among your neighbors, cooked in your air fryer. That's the world we're building.
That's a world I want to live in. Try the cash and carry approach this week. Buy one box of frozen schnitzels from a restaurant supply store. Compare the price and quality to your supermarket brand. We want to hear how it goes, what you paid, what you found, whether the membership process was as trivial as we claim. Email the show at show@myweirdprompts.com.
Our producer, Hilbert Flumingtop, thanks you for listening. This has been My Weird Prompts. Find us at myweirdprompts.com. We'll be back soon.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The hosts dig in, the hosts dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too, from half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head,
send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird props, that's the close from sloth, from man, from long ear host. My weird props, until next time, stay curious, keep weird in mind.